How the internet works. To see how big carriers could control the online world, you must understand its structure. When Jennifer, who lives in Pasadena, California, wants to send an email message from her home computer to her mother in Washington, D.C., she uses a local internet service provider, ISP, such as Earthlink Network Incorporated, EINK. Earthlink gives Jennifer access to the internet much in the same way that an on-ramp puts a driver on the national highway system. After Jennifer's computer makes a local telephone call to Earthlink local bank of modems, Jennifer types in her email message and hits send. Based on Mom's email address, Earthlink will recognize that Mom is a customer of an ISP in Washington called Arrows Internet Incorporated, RCNC. Earthlink will then send the email to the internet backbone provider, such as GTE Corporation, to route it along its way. Backbone providers are the internet players that typically own and lease long-haul fiber-optic cables spanning a large region. They also own the communications gear that directs traffic over the internet. There are only a handful of major backbone providers, such as MCI World Corporation, GTE and PSINet Incorporated, PSIX. Backbone providers connect to each other to exchange data between their customers. They also pick up and deliver traffic for a fee from the 7,000 or so smaller ISPs who give residential and small business users access to the internet. Backbone carriers are like the highway system over which much of the freight of the internet travels to reach its destination. When the internet was still a government-run system, there was only a single internet backbone, the NSFNET, operated by the National Science Foundation, which connected the regional government-funded internet networks that were run by various research universities. When the government privatized the NSFNET in 1995, companies such as MCI, UNNET Technologies, now owned by WorldCom, BBN, now owned by GTE, and PSNet stepped into the breach by which setting up commercial internet backbone services. Now, instead of one NSFNET backbone, there are many of them that link together to provide the global connectivity that is the internet. When the NSFNET was privatized, the government set up three locations in the U.S. where various internet backbone companies could place their communications gear side by side and connect to each other. These so-called public peering points are in Chicago, Palo Alto, California, and Pennsauca, New Jersey. Later, the government sanctioned two industry-run public peering points called Metropolitan Access Exchange East and West, MAE East in Vienna, Virginia, and MAE West in San Jose, California. The problem was, as the internet grew, the public points became overburdened and traffic slowed at these bottlenecks. So backbone providers started making arrangements with each other called private peering. There are direct bilateral connections between two carriers in which no fees are charged. Backbone providers aren't charging peers only, but there are a lot of discussion about whether they should. Most industry experts say the internet needs to develop some payment scheme. After all, it is now a commercial, profit-making business, not a government freebie. But the industry has not figured out how to calculate who owes what to whom. Without an industry standard or government regulation, smaller companies fear that larger ones will set these charges in an arbitrary and discriminatory fashion. There could be a lot of cockamamie measurements, says Leonardo Kutcar, an internet founder and computer science professor of the University of California, Los Angeles. Since the internet was privatized, it has grown by leaps and bounds into a remarkably successful communications medium without government regulation, and most want it to stay that way. But the internet has matured to a point that more uniform rules are needed to safeguard competition. As a first step, experts argue that backbone providers should have to disclose the criteria for becoming a peer. This would allow companies to see whether they are being discriminated against. An industry group called Global Internet Project, whose members include such major backbone providers as MCI, GTE, and AT&T, is developing a longer-term solution. The group advocates a fair and public system under which all backbone providers would pay each other for carrying net traffic. We need a market mechanism to ensure peering for all, says Daniel Schlomann, president of AT&T, WorldNet Service, a project member. Many issues need to be worked out, including who would do the policing. Still, with a clear payment system, those who can afford to pay the price can become peers. Peering would be determined by the market rather than by the private company with its own competitive interest.